Okay, I muted Don. Vinny, continue.
Cool, I could keep jerking off to my team.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, everybody, to Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I normally say another edition. Another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Fucked up the intro. Good job, Walsh. I am your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am here for a special edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football, the quarantine / free agency edition, with two of my favorite people in the entire world. That is Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, what's going on?
Hello.
And the D-O-N himself, Don Chrisman. Don, what the fuck is up?
What's up, dude?
Whew, not too much. We have a little bit of time on our hands, as people do with the current situation. So normally we kind of run June through December or around that time frame, and we decided, what the hell? There's been some NFL news this week. There's been a lot of NFL news this week. Thank God. Seriously, it's been keeping me sane. Like, I don't know what I would be doing without it. But so we might as well talk about it. And this podcast is coming to you about an hour later than we initially intended because Vinny smashed a butter dish and had to clean it up. So Don and I have been drinking during that hour, and we are ready to talk some free agency. Before we get into it, guys, anything you'd like to share? Any news for the people out there?
No, man. I just hope that everyone is safe and being smart during this time of quarantine. And it is real. but it's not just the flu. No, it could be less dangerous to most, but it still is dangerous to some. But it is going to pass through. So just be safe, be smart. And you just learn how important sports is at a time like this where you miss it. And thank God that, the NFL has a lot for us to talk about so we can bring you some podcast time with us and we can talk about it and have a little fun. And we hope we can make a little bit of your day a little bit better during this time of insanity.
Well said, Don.
Yeah, seriously. That was like the most touching thing I think I've ever heard you say. It was super nice. Way to be, dude.
I did take a few remedial courses back in college for English and language arts, but I'm trying, man.
Yeah. You almost used like a couple like three or four syllable words in there. That was pretty nuts.
Almost, but
I was like silently clapping during them too. For the syllables.
Quarantine.
All right, guys. Well, we're gonna dive right into it because, like we said, the NFL league year has begun and there are moves being made. We're gonna start with the best quarterback of all time. I think I can say that.
Yes, sir.
Boo.
Because Don has a problem with that still. It's like,
what is your fucking problem with that?
He's still on the Aaron Rodgers kick.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's not even a contest. It's not even a contest, dude.
Just one, put Aaron Rodgers in dude. With Bill Belichick. He's never even losing a Super Bowl, dog.
Oh, my God.
So listen, I respect the shit out of Brady.
All right, whatever. Anyway, Tom Brady signed with the Tampa Bay Bucks for 2 years and $50 million. What the fuck is this, dude?
Yeah, dude, it's great. And get paid, dude, by the way, because yeah, so many cuts all the time with the Patriots. Awesome.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Get your money there, Tom. Not that you need it, but, like, get it because you can. For the Bucks, this is really interesting because they're going from Jameis, who I personally love, but, he has his flaws. The 30 interceptions – not great.
but he slings the pig.
Exactly.
30 touchdowns. He offset it. 30 for 30.
And so he's great for those wide receivers.
That's what I'm saying. So I think what we need to talk about is I think the initial reaction to maybe a casual fantasy fan or a casual football fan is that this is good for Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. I think it's bad because Jameis needed to throw that fucking pig around because he put himself in a 14-point hole by throwing two interceptions in the first quarter in just about every game this year. So to me, this is, we got to downgrade those guys. Do you guys have similar opinions, or are you on the opposite side?
No, I agree. I think that these are very fantasy viable wide receivers either way. And Tom Brady is Tom Brady, but Jameis Winston, what made them so great for Chris Godwin and Mike Evans is the deep ball and Jameis Winston just ready to let it fly, where Tom Brady, especially in his older age, has been more used to a dink and dunk, a lot of running backs that he's throwing to, his slot receivers that he loves to throw to, where they're more short yardage passes versus Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are used to just Jameis. He doesn't care if there's four people around you. As long as you're 50 yards deep, he's going to throw it to you.
I will say the Patriots didn't really have like a whole like that great of an arsenal of weapons for Tom Brady. So I don't know. I think he could still cut it loose because some of the throws he was making last season were just like pinpoint on the money, like beautiful dimes, but just, you know, nobody was catching them or running the right route. Like he can still zip the ball. So I'm still, yeah,
he's going to be less careless though. So some things didn't work out for Jameis, but some things did.
That's for sure. Yeah. He's going to take a lot less risk, but that's what makes Tom Brady great. So I think, I don't know, Walsh, I don't think I'm totally out on them. I don't know if you're totally out on them, but like you're sort of leaning towards them not being too valuable.
I'm going to be lower than market on them. Like, because I think people are going to like the thing is
they'll skyrocket in ADP.
It's the game script is going to be the issue. Like obviously Tom Brady is going to be able to get the ball to them. He's a good quarterback, even at age 43, but like Jameis threw for almost 5,200 yards last year because he had to, you know, because like the NFL Network has been showing the Rams Bucks game for like the past 2 days. I've literally watched it twice in the past 24 hours from earlier this season, where the Bucks put up 55 points. Like this is like Tom Brady isn't going to be needing to put up 55 points to win against the Rams. You know, it's going to be a different style of game, I think. And Bruce Arians has said that he's going to, you know, Bruce Arians loves chucking it downfield, but he also has said that Tom Brady is going to have influence on how the offense is run and what the offense does and that sort of thing. And naturally so. Go ahead, Don.
No, I was going to say, but I think a positive, I guess you can look at it too. And I'm on your side, Walsh, for sure. Like I just think that it's going to bring them down a little bit. Obviously they're still viable to where they are, but I would be more cautious to it. But on the flip side, I believe they're going to bring Tom Brady's value up as a fantasy quarterback.
So are we drafting Tom Brady this year? Because I feel like that wasn't necessarily a thing that we were doing last year.
Yeah, I would draft him with the weapons that he has.
And definitely.
Maybe like he's going to bring some with O.J. Howard.
Or where are we at there? I don't know.
I'd probably say like –
I would put him low QB1.
Without looking at it like right now, I'd probably say like maybe QB6 or 7.
Yeah, I'd put him in 7-8.
Wow. Probably, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I just think he's going to be very efficient. Like, dude, the weapons, the way Tom Brady plays, he doesn't really give the ball away. So I think he's going to have a very high floor.
And his division is just straight up shootouts.
These are all good points. I honestly hadn't even really considered a lot of this, you know, going into recording this. So these are all really good points. I can't really refute them. Let's move on to our boy who is no longer bolting up, Philip is on the Colts. It's a 1 year, $25 million deal.
So
it's a deer. So Philip is also getting paid, which is nice. But yeah, what do we
bolt up for Philip?
we're going from bolting up to cold up.
How the fuck did we not even think, Don? That was amazing.
Yeah, way to be.
Dude, you're in mid-season form, Don. This is wonderful.
Yeah, so I mean, Philip last year was fantasy-wise and I think real football-wise was disappointing. He looked like he was kind of washed. So this is an interesting move for a team that is also still paying Jacoby Brissett a lot of money at this current time. So I don't know exactly what it does. Like, are you guys in on Philip like you are on Brady or?
No, I, so you guys know that Phillip is always my last pick of our draft every year, and I always end up starting Phillip in like multiple leagues every year and ends up working out decently well. Mm-hmm. Last year it didn't work out the way it normally does, and like I totally forgot about Eric Ebron until I saw the whole Steelers ordeal. I'm like, oh, okay, well, Phillip has Eric Ebron, who's going to be, you know, a red zone target, and you know, T.Y. maybe, but losing Ebron hurts, and he doesn't have the receiving staff that he did with the Chargers, with the Colts, other than T.Y. being that, you know.
That T.Y.'s kind of had a rough go the last couple of years. Like, he hasn't been fully healthy, so.
T.Y. is still T.Y., though.
He yeah. If he gets that, no, if he gets that overall, straight, he'll be, I mean, he'll be like Keenan Allen for him.
Yeah, behind
Mike Williams, Hunter Henry, or when he had Antonio Gaines, there was a few different guys, and Austin Eckler out of the backfield. Like, he doesn't have all those options to him.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think one place where it might affect this team is Phillip loves throwing to the running back, and that's just like particularly in his later years, he has loved the running back. So I think maybe they could get Marlon Mack involved in the pass game, which he hasn't been really right. over the past couple of years. I don't know about that. But you're right. Behind T.Y., like, is their number two going to be Paris Campbell? Like, is that what we're looking at here? So it's interesting. I kind of want to see how the preseason and, you know, training camp and all those sorts of things work out before I really form an opinion on this, I think.
The thing that I like a lot is Phillip's got the protection. Like, their offensive line is great. So I think that we haven't seen Phillip with time in probably 2 or 3 years. So
they never even planned on building that line for Andrew Luck. They just knew they were going to sign Phillip Rivers. Like, we need to protect.
They were like, yeah, let's force this dude into retirement so we can sign Phillip on the cheap.
that's actually a really good point.
Not that cheap.
This is probably the best line that Rivers has played with, because the Chargers have theoretically had good offensive lines in the past, and they've always gotten hurt within the first like 3 weeks. It's this weird Chargers curse, which we'll talk about with Brian Bulaga in a little bit, maybe. But my theory
is always hurt, by the way.
I know. So here's my theory with Bulaga, is that he's always hurt. Chargers offensive linemen are always hurt. In this case, two wrongs make a right. Bulaga stays healthy.
Boom.
I hope so, man. That's my AFC team, and I love Bulaga. He's a great lineman when he's in, but he's always freaking hurt, man.
Yeah. All right. So let's move away from Phillip and the Colts.
Colt up.
Why did I? Yeah, we could. Great call on that, Don. Great job.
It's really awesome.
I'm gonna Colt up all year.
I don't know why I even put this on the outline. Joe Flacco got waived, and the Broncos signed Jeff Driscoll. It seems like they're running with Drew Lock this year. The only thing I have to say there is keep drafting Cortland Sutton. I will have to wear a Cortland Sutton jersey at this year's draft because Blake bought it for me.
What was that bet?
Sammy Watkins versus Cortland Sutton, most fantasy points. Mm. And after week one, I felt great. And the rest of the season, I didn't. So I sent Blake $100 per the terms of the bet, and he used that $100 to buy and ship me a Cortland Sutton jersey that I now need to wear to our draft next
that
year.
That is actually phenomenal.
It's really funny phenomenal. On his part. It's really awesome. Well done.
That is.
Yeah. All right, let's move back to the AFC South and talk about the Panthers, where Cam has been made available for trade. They're trying to work towards that. There's nothing as of the recording of this. And they've signed Teddy Bridgewater to a 3-year, $60 million contract. How do we feel about Teddy Bridge in this offense next year? Vinny, I'll go to you first.
I don't know, man. I've been flip-flopping on Teddy. He was great. Like, I wasn't a huge fan when he started out. And on the Vikings and everything. And I know Shrek was all about him and stuff. And I just really didn't see it. And then when he popped in and was like great for the Saints, kind of blew me away. I was very surprised. Like, I'm sure a lot of people weren't, but I was like really blown away how he took that team over, kept them undefeated while he was, you know, replacing Drew Brees for that period of time. But it looked great while doing it. So I'm being optimistic about this. I think it's a good move for the Panthers. Obviously, they just let Cam walk or whatever he's doing on their team right now. I don't know what they're doing with him, but going to have a very interesting effect on DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. I think Walsh, you were talking about this, like Teddy doesn't really chuck it deep, but when he does, it's pretty effective, and DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel love going deep.
Yeah. I'm interested, you know, in what's going to happen. Teddy's sort of, he's been good when he's given time and when he's operating within a system. He doesn't seem like a guy who operates well, like out of structure. Like, you know, he's like the anti like Deshaun Watson, you know? But if they're able to set up an offense that he can really thrive in, and their offensive coordinator, I am forgetting his name currently, but he was the offensive coordinator for the Saints, I believe.
Joe Brady.
Joe Brady. So Teddy's going to come in there knowing the offense, knowing the terminology, coming in there with a system that he has already succeeded in. And I think that all bodes well. And I mean, if you look at his skill positions, like you've got McCaffrey, you've got DJ Moore, you've got Curtis Samuel. They just signed Seth Roberts to play the slot. How about that?
My man.
Yeah, it's a great situation, I think, to be walking into. So I don't know whether I'm like actively looking to have him as a fantasy asset just yet. I still need to do some thinking and some digging on that. But I'm cautiously optimistic on Teddy in Carolina. Don, you got thoughts?
I will put Teddy in the sense of a less drastic point of view, as if anybody follows the NBA, with Kawhi Leonard being an NBA fan, it actually made me mad. What's that? Yeah, no, I cracked that. Yeah, that's nice.
All right, continue.
We are not sponsored by Mango White Claws, but if I could, I would. So, Kawhi Leonard, when he came into the league from day one, was extremely effective. Awesome. And then people forgot about Kawhi Leonard. And it's just like, then he got straight to the Raptors or whatever it was. And no, but honestly, so went to Raptors and everyone's like, Kawhi Leonard is like possibly the best player in the league. Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota was a Pro Bowler. And people forget with his injury, they're like,
wait, was he really? Teddy
Yes, he was a Pro Bowler. He went to the Pro Bowl, and Minnesota was invested on him being the future. He, look it up. He was a Pro Bowler. Dude, he went off for the Jets before Saints picked him up, and then he proved it with the Saints when Drew Brees was hurt. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know where to rank him just yet. Again, the quarterbacks are – it's rich of quarterbacks, again, this year going to fantasy, but – I wouldn't even be surprised. I definitely wouldn't be surprised if Teddy Bridgewater ended up being like 8 through 10 top for quarterbacks. Because yes, Teddy Bridgewater is good, and he's reproved it again. He was a Pro Bowler that Minnesota
who
was
scratched. Who scratched that year where he got in? Because
I was going to say, didn't Mitch Trubisky make the Pro Bowl too?
Yeah, like I don't know, Don. I don't know if you should be like parading that around like as a thing. That's like he's never passed. He barely went over 3,000 yards in his best season.
He has been good, though, in certain situations.
Still had to make Pro Bowl.
And I mean,
I don't think a Pro Bowl is like people voluntarily say no to that shit now. Like, I don't think that's really an honor anymore.
It's more like an obligation than an honor.
Yeah, it's like, oh, cool, I get to play extra football. Thanks.
I do think he makes some salient points, though, there, Don, in terms of, you know, his potential. And he's a guy who, thinking about it, like, he may be a guy that I end up targeting sort of as a late round quarterback. I mean, you know, we're generally as a podcast, very pro late round quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater is a guy who could end up in that field for me, I think, as someone who I'm looking at there.
Hold on, Walsh. So you weren't thinking about drafting Tom Brady, but Teddy's in your target range?
Yeah, that's a mental inconsistency that I need to tackle, and yeah. It's a good thing it's March, and I don't have to do anything about it yet.
Very fair.
But yes, that is sort of something that was in my brain, and I now do need to reconcile that. But let's move on from Teddy.
Yeah, I mean he. So Teddy, 2015 Pro Bowl, went 11-5 with Minnesota. Completion percentage 65.3%. Had 3,200 yards.
John, it was literally not impressive. Like, it wasn't.
All right. Well, either way, Pro Bowl, bro.
All right. Let's get to one more quarterback changing teams, and then we'll run through a couple staying on their teams. Nick Foles went to the Bears. I don't have any take on this.
I don't. Dude, is he even going to start? Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
I would think so, but Nick Foles has had, like, two – like half seasons that have been like incredible, and he's just been like shitty the rest of the time.
If I'm the Bears, I play Mitch for the start of the season just because Foles only performs when he steps in as an emergency. So you literally set this up. So Mitch will just like go out there and be like, whatever, he'll go 3-3 and just be like, hey, it's time for a change. And then boom, Foles takes you to the fucking Super Bowl and you win.
I think you cracked the code there. I honestly do. I think that's the correct move.
So,
sorry, dude. A lot of
I know Matt Nagy. So Matt Nagy had him in Philadelphia, and I believe their offensive coordinator was in Philadelphia with Nick Foles as well.
So they're like aware of him and are going to try and work around him, is what you're saying.
And when has Nick Foles been efficient with the Philadelphia Eagles? Right. So one, it's an upgrade from Mitch Trubisky. It's a system that he's familiar with. I don't hate it, dude. The only thing I hate really with their signings is Jimmy Graham, but I'm happy about it. But I think Nick Foles will leave as or start as the starter this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be the starter. You don't trade for a quarterback unless you're going to start him. But I think Vinny might be right in terms of what they should do, just for like good karma and shit. Let's say so. There's two quarterbacks who are still on. Are still available who I think might end up starting on teams this year, and that's Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton. Do we have any thoughts on where they would go? You know, things like that.
The biggest thing is the Patriots need a quarterback.
Stidham played pretty well in the preseason last year. Like, do they need a quarterback?
Yeah.
Or do they trade for Cam?
I heard a theory today that the Patriots are going to go with what they have, go with Stidham, in order to tank for Trevor Lawrence. And I was like, I don't think the Patriots are going to tank.
No, they're not.
My friend at work called that last year. He was just like, Brady's gone, and then tank for Lawrence. I'm just like, that is
– Really? Last year?
Last year. He said that to me. I'm just like, shut the fuck up, dude. That's so stupid. I've been texting him all offseason just like, I'm so sorry. tell me other shit that's going to happen. But I don't know. That's really not like the Patriots MO. I don't know. They're definitely going to like, you think Belichick wants to lay down a year? I think he's going to want to. Yeah, no, absolutely not. He's going to want to go out there, and there are so many quarterbacks. Well, there are less now, but there's still like high quality caliber quarterbacks that are out there. Like Dalton could still get it done. Newton, Winston.
So who would you think would be more likely to go, even of the three?
Andy Dalton.
I was going to say Cam in a trade, but the Patriots don't give up trade assets like that either. Like, unless they can give up.
They might be able to trade him for, like, not that much because now Carolina is invested in Teddy.
If they can give up, like, a fifth-round pick, like, they'll get Cam, but I don't think they're doing it for more than that, you know?
That's why I think they'll get Dalton because, you know, Mike Brown sucks, and they'll just be able to trick him and just be like, hey, man, how about a shiny fourth rounder? Mike Brown.
If Jameis goes to the Patriots, I will start rooting for the Patriots.
If Jameis goes to the Patriots, that's the best storyline we can root for.
And Jameis wins a Super Bowl just in New England. Oh, my God. That would be
he did get LASIK, too. Like, now he can
– Yeah, now he can see shit.
Oh, God.
That was the funniest thing I've ever – he's just like
– Stop it.
I need to fix my eyes. And it's just like, that makes a lot of sense.
You're a fucking quarterback. Like,
you touch the ball every play.
Yeah. All right. Let's continue on from the speculation here and just touch on a couple guys that are staying with the teams that they were. So Drew Brees signed a 2-year extension. We have Tannehill got his big ass contract, and then Dak got franchised. The only other person I had on this talking about it was Mariota went to the Raiders. I don't think that's really going to matter in the long term or league.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, who do you think is going to start with the Raiders?
It's Derek Carr. I think it's not close. Like, I mean, him and Gruden are very close. Like, Mariota, I think, is legitimately just backup slash maybe gadget player occasionally. I would like if he was in the sort of Taysom Hill role, like the red zone package role. But we'll see.
But way less awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Way less Taysom.
Fuck you. All right. Let's move on to running back, where I think the top story has got to be Todd Gurley getting released by the Rams. That's the team he played for. And he has now signed a one-year deal with the Falcons. I believe it's worth about $6 million. I think this is a great fit for Gurley. Like, I'm pretty excited. Where are you guys, like, temperature-wise on Gurley this year?
I like 98.6, baby.
Yeah, I think I'll go exactly what Don said.
So you guys are both, like, normal on Gurley?
It's just about right.
Yeah. Ah, there we go. Okay. That sounds way cooler than the way I phrased it. Why are you just about right on Gurley?
I think that Gurley's got a lot to prove, and he's home. Like, he's coming home, and this division, I mean, we've obviously talked about it in our text group. It's just so high octane offense, and it's just going to be another weapon to help relieve the passing offense with Matt Ryan and Julio and everybody else. Todd Gurley still is a beast. He has a lot to prove. He's home. I love it.
Vin?
I still think they're going to run like a similar offense, like Devonta Freeman and oh my God, what's his name? As Tevin. Backup. What's up?
Old backup, Tevin or Ito Smith.
Ito. I think it's going to be like a nice – because, like, for the most part, the Falcons have been running the same offense for a couple of years, and it's always, like, 16 carries to the main back, and then, you know, you sprinkle in the other carries. I think Gurley can still get it done with that amount of work, and it'll keep him fresh, so it's kind of already balanced and a little bit of what we saw last year where the Rams were doing some weird load management that really didn't make any sense whatsoever. I think the Falcons have the perfect formula for that if they keep the same offensive mindset. So I think – Gurley can get it done in that small workload area because Todd Gurley is a fucking freak. And we talked about that. Well, I've talked about that last year where I was like, I'm not afraid to have a 16 carry Gurley on my team, which I probably should have been because it was like an okay year. But on this offense where it's just going to be, like Don has been saying, fucking shootouts all over the place, I think Gurley is one of the more intriguing landing spots that has happened in this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, another thing that we know about the Falcons, too, is that they like throwing to their running backs. So that's extremely appealing in terms of Gurley's fantasy value. He's a guy who's excelled when he's used in the pass game, and he's likely going to be used in the pass game here. So I like that a lot. I'm with you guys. Like, I'm pretty in on him. I don't necessarily have, like, a round where I want to draft him yet. My thoughts haven't formulated that closely or that significantly. But like if just off the cuff, like if you told me Gurley like early second round, I don't think I would bat an eye at it right now.
I was trying to think, where did I take him this year?
You took him late first. You overdrafted him this year. You like absolutely did that.
No, that's not true.
You took him in the first round.
No, I took Hopkins.
Okay.
I think I took him in the third, dude.
No. So
he took him to a very early, or not very earlier.
I have our draft board in my room. Do you want me to get it?
Actually, you know, I'm actually very curious. I think it was the third round.
Okay. I will be back. You guys fill the air. I will be back in like 20 seconds.
Thank you.
Just don't break a butter dish.
It was an accident, Don. It fell out.
It's always an accident.
It is always an accident. Should we keep talking about Gurley? Like, what do we do? Should we just keep jerking off to him until Walsh gets back?
Gurley's so good.
He is good.
No, I love it, man. I think it's a big year for him too, because it's a 1 year deal. So, it's like a contract year for a guy that feels like he needs to prove a lot. The Rams really not backseated him, but really started to restrict him on his role there. And I feel like he's home. He's got a high octane offense. It's a big year for him to prove a lot. So I think it's great. I love it.
Yeah. Rams were a little sheepish. They kept kind of pulling back the reins on him when it seemed, you know, like a right time to let Todd Gurley be like himself, you know, give him like 20 carries, let him take over a game.
Their excuses were weird too. It was like, it was never very clear to why they were doing it. So yeah, I just feel even his response right away, like he was ready to get out of the Rams, and
he got signed in like 8 hours. Like
he already had destinations that he wanted. Yeah. I know that there was like a talk about the Bucks for him too, so I'm sure there were other teams reaching out about it.
You took him mid-second round.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like whatever you guys said while I was gone was probably good enough for the Gurley talk. we'll mention just briefly within that, you know, obviously Devontae Freeman is gone from the Falcons. He got cut. Clay Matthews also got cut from the Rams. We'll see where he goes. And then Brandon Cooks, I think, is going to be an interesting case of what happens to him. I would be very surprised if he doesn't end up traded or cut, but we'll go from there.
Will he be another first-round deal?
For what, the third time in his career?
I think those are used up.
Speaking of first-round, I'm going to jump around to make this transition kind of work. Speaking of first-round deals, or in this case, not getting first-round picks for a deal, David Johnson got traded to the Houston Texans, and the fact that the Texans did not get a first-round pick out of DeAndre fucking Hopkins is one of the most egregious things that I've ever seen in my entire life. So this trade was the Cardinals get DeAndre Hopkins and a 2020 fourth rounder. The Texans get David Johnson, a 2020 second rounder, and a 2021 fourth rounder. So basically, DeAndre Hopkins was worth David Johnson and a second round pick to the Texans. We all know Bill O'Brien's bad at this. Didn't realize he was this bad.
I think it caused more of a stir than the world pandemic of the coronavirus.
My friend is a Texans fan. Corey and Doug, you know them. Yep, they're Texans fans, and they were both just like, "What the fuck is possibly happening right now?" Like,
yeah, I mean,
what do we? And like, I know bad ownership. I know bad run teams. I'm a fan of the Raiders, the Mets, and the Knicks. Like, I know these things. That was a move that if I was a fan of that team, I would just be like, what, like, how do I keep doing this?
You got to consider like another team. Like, that's just so fucking awful. Your best player besides Watson.
Two things. Michael Irvin considered this trade DeAndre Hopkins for a ham sandwich, which I found hilarious. Two, I mean, you have Deshaun Watson, which you have so much investment with, and I mean, the rapport with – I mean, any quarterback would have great rapport with DeAndre Hopkins, even someone as great as Brick Osweiler, as you would say, Walsh.
Is that a thing just, that I used to say?
No, yeah, it's actually Brick Asweiler.
Brick Asweiler. There we go. Yeah.
Come on, Doug.
Which is so much better. Cold up, dude. It's crazy. Like, how do – I don't know. Like, it's, you don't have words for someone that you have such investment in, your quarterback too, who's young and is going to do so many things with. You have arguably the best wide receiver. I would put my money on that DeAndre Hopkins right now is the best receiver in the league. And for that, it's asinine, especially when you see Diggs 2 days later with what they got for Diggs.
Oh my, dude, that happened.
And Diggs is great, but
yeah,
Diggs is not DeAndre Hopkins.
Don, way to go saying asinine. I did not expect that out of you.
Asinine. Three
syllables.
Don, three. You gotta hit four before we end this.
I'll hit that shit.
You guys are completely on it.
That's four. Different word, but yeah, you're good.
You guys are completely on it. It's like just very, very bad. in terms of fantasy value now for David Johnson, I'm confused because the Texans threw to the running back less than all but four other teams in the NFL last year. And that was after trading for Duke Johnson, whose express purpose is throwing to the running back. So where does this make sense? They've now traded so much value for all pass catching running backs, and they don't throw the running back. Like I don't know that David Johnson is someone I would target even at all. I mean, like, you know, at all is overestimating it, but you get what I mean. He can't have much value, right?
No. I mean, like, when you look at their team, they're hot garbage. Like, it's Deshaun Watson is great. The offensive line needs some work. You know, if Tunzel does, you know, they gave a first rounder for Tunzel. If he can get his shit together, Will Fuller's not healthy. Kenny Stills is old. Randall Cobb, great.
Yeah, like, big who fucking cares? What the fuck are you doing? And giving him so much money, right?
Yes. And now you have David Johnson, Duke Johnson. I guess they could choose to re-sign Carlos or fucking Lamar Miller, but like, that's probably not happening because you already have David Johnson and Duke Johnson. This team is bad. This team went from being a contender in the playoffs for years to come to a team that I would be surprised if they won six games.
And Deshaun Watson is so good that he's going to bail them out again. Like, Deshaun Watson is the reason that Bill O'Brien has a job, because he's handed a pile of shit and he somehow turns it into like a passable restaurant meal.
Dude, this is like the Andrew Luck saga all over again. You're going to get this guy killed.
I would bet so much money that Deshaun Watson replaced his phone after that trade. Like, I would bet
the just money. Changed his number.
Like, there's it's crazy. It really is crazy. And no, it's a major L for the Texans, especially because they've always been, you know, they've made the playoffs. They're making a push. And they just need to get that an extra step, and then they get rid of DeAndre Hopkins for that. It's crazy.
Dude, literally all they needed to do was not do this. and they did it. And they fucked they could themselves. Have
like, or hey man, I mean, don't even push
if,
like,
you're trading, if you're trading DeAndre you Hopkins, like, if you had any sort of patience, though, I mean, you definitely could have had so many better deals than that.
Yeah, dude, it's like, it's completely bizarre. I don't think there's any rationalizing it. Let's talk about
a big contract.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Let's talk about
it's
the Hopkins.
It's an ass and nine.
still three, Don.
Let's talk about the Hopkins side of the fantasy value, because while I love the Cardinals offense and I think this makes the Cardinals a lot better, I do not think it makes DeAndre Hopkins a better fantasy value. And the reason is that he's been fed like a 30 plus target percentage for a lot of his time with the Texans. And I don't think he gets that in Arizona's offense.
I do.
How?
I think they're still not a great team. I think Kyler Murray's still going to have to throw a shit ton. And I think that DeAndre Hopkins has been more than he's shown his worth completely with the shittiest quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life and still been top five.
25%? Sure, not 30%. He's not getting that many targets. He's not getting 150 targets this year.
Yes, he will.
Do you want to bet?
This is the first bet. That is the first. DeAndre Hopkins will surpass 150.5 targets.
Okay, what are we putting on it? I don't know. Whatever the fuck we always put on it.
Yeah, nothing.
All right. But we are staking our claims.
Yeah.
I am below 150 targets. You are above 150 targets. That's good to know. I think there's 0% chance. Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald are going to play in the slot. They barely targeted the outside receivers last year. They're obviously going to target them more with DeAndre Hopkins being one of them. But 0% chance he gets past
one of them being them.
Yeah, he is this team now, dude.
They he's not going to get that target share.
I ordered a DeAndre Hopkins Arizona the Cardinals jersey, dude. I was like, I saw the promotion. I was like, I have to, dude. I'm pumped for Arizona.
That's a badass jersey. But I mean, like, where? So going forward, where do we rank him in terms of top receivers? Because I have him behind Michael Thomas. I think I have him behind Julio. I have him. Maybe Devontae Adams? Like, I'm not really sure.
DeAndre Hopkins is probably numero dos for me.
Behind Michael Thomas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would take him second off the board.
Interesting. I'm not – okay. We'll continue to have this discussion throughout the offseason, I'm sure.
He's in no way, shape, or form is he not getting drafted in the first round in every single league.
Yeah.
So – like, he's definitely going to go after or before Michael Thomas. He's either going to be one or two.
Okay. That's
Kyler Murray's been having wet dreams every single night since this fucking trade has happened.
Yeah, dude. Just nocturnal emission after nocturnal emission.
Well,
yeah.
Kyler's the guy who I think benefits most fantasy-wise. I would almost draft him as a top five quarterback right now.
I can get down with that. Obviously, I'm going to stack these two in every league.
Yes, you are.
This is my new stack.
All right. We've talked sufficiently on that. Let's talk about Melvin Gordon to the Broncos. 2 years, $16 million. Fantasy-wise, this fucking sucks because it's going to be a three-way committee between him, Philip Lindsay, and Royce Freeman. They are all still under contract, and I don't want a single fucking piece of it.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. It's really hard because obviously Melvin Gordon last year, where do you draft them because of the whole issue of what had happened? And now it's this year of, I don't know, with the holdout. So now this year it's like, all right, now you have two other fantasy productive running backs that you're going to throw in the mix. It's tough to say anything right now on that. But, yeah, it's very discouraging that you would go to Denver with a team that likes to run a running back tandem easily.
Yeah,
not great.
It's
just not good. It reminds me of the Giants when they had Brandon Jacobs, Ahmad Bradshaw, and the other dude. I cannot remember.
Right, the other dude.
When they had those three.
Yeah, I mean, two-way running back splits are fine for fantasy purposes in 2020. Three-way are not. So this creates a three-way unless they're going to –
get rid of one of them.
Get rid of one of them, but I don't think they're going to because they're both on 4-year contracts, to my knowledge. So it's I don't know. And you can't not play Philip Lindsay, and they seem to like Royce Freeman enough where they're going to keep playing him. So I don't know. I'm confused by the whole thing. I don't understand why you would allocate $8 million a year to Melvin Gordon when you have Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. But they did it, and that's what they're doing going forward. Let's move on to the Dolphins, who signed Jordan Howard. Did someone just fart?
That was Don going,
I thought that was a reaction to, like, I thought farting was the appropriate reaction to Jordan Howard to the Dolphins.
That's what my reaction was. That is my reaction.
Yeah. Hard who gives a fuck on the side of this guy. Vin, any opinions?
Well, we got a four-way committee here now. We got Jordan Howard, we got Kalen Ballage, we got Miles Gaskin, and we got the boy, Patrick Laird,
our Laird and Savior.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I don't know. This is – until the Dolphins get a quarterback, I really don't know what to make of their team defensively.
They're, like, doing shit.
Oh, my God, are they fucking setting up for the future. I don't know if they're going to make a move for Tua or fucking – take up Cam or Andy or
yeah. Let's talk about this briefly because they signed they signed Emmanuel Ogba, Kyle Van Noy, Shaq Lawson, and Byron Jones. That's several of the best pass rushers in the league. And one of the best cornerbacks in the league. Like, they're doing things on the defensive side. I just have no idea what their offense looks like.
It's bad.
But But what about if they get an okay quarterback and all of a sudden Preston Williams and Devontae Parker are doing great?
I love Devontae Parker.
Exactly my point, that we do not know what to say about this team until they figure it out. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick, sure. We know what's going on. He's going to chuck the ball. Sure.
I'm pretty sure I've sold my soul to fantasy football for Devontae Parker.
Can we please get Jameis in Miami to throw to Devontae Parker and Preston Williams?
Yes.
I'll just be a Dolphins fan.
I will buy a Jameis Dolphins jersey. I will do that.
I honestly feel like, especially us, have been like, we need this to be paid off for us for the amount of investment that we've had every year for Miami and their offense. That I would love Jameis Winston to go there, sling so much pig. It doesn't matter how many interceptions he throws, that we would get paid off with that. That'd be amazing.
Jameis would be
the number one quarterback.
I made some money off that game where Preston Williams got hurt. But he scored 2 touchdowns first. I made some money off that week, and if he hadn't gotten hurt, I could have been a rich man. But there's if Jameis goes to the Dolphins, I think we collectively as a podcast need to make a pilgrimage to Miami to go see
I would be down.
Oh my god.
I would absolutely be down.
I would get arrested at Hard Rock Cafe Stadium.
You would see. I would be the naked guy running across the field that was humping Devontae Parker before I got tased.
Devontae Parker.
Don, impressive.
Yeah, way to be. All right, so there's two more running backs sticking with their teams. That we need to talk about. One of them is Kenyon Drake. He got the transition tag. Like we said, David Johnson got traded away. So we're looking at a Kenyon Drake, Chase Edmonds, 1-2 punch in Arizona. Big fan of that. Kenyon Drake was a stud down the stretch. The stretch is the correct word of the season. Do you guys have thoughts on Kenyon Drake?
Very impressive. Because what David Johnson was not able to do, which was be good, you know, there's no fucking excuse. Like, Kenyon Drake came in, same offensive line, same shitty offense, and dominated.
And Chase Edmonds did before that, too.
So in good matchups.
That's fair.
And also, David Johnson was hurt during that time.
Right.
So there are little asterisks for Chase Edmonds, but Kenyon Drake, dude, that was the most impressive shit I've ever seen. Because I talked so much shit about that move. It was not great, looked bad. The situation was weird too, because you trade for a mid-season free agent guy at the end of the year. You got to pay him. They obviously transition tag him, which is very smart, which I did not know about. I was just very impressed what he was able to do. And I think it was a great move by the Cardinals now in retrospect.
Yeah, 100% agreed. And they were able to trade away their overpaid running back for a guy that they're going to pay a decent amount of money. But that's okay. The other one is Derrick Henry re-signed. I think we all saw this coming, and we talked about Ryan Tannehill's big-ass contract before. The Titans are obviously trying to run back exactly what they just did, which got them really far in the playoffs, so why the fuck not? Any other opinions on that? Or
Henry got tagged, correct?
Correct.
I thought he got re-signed.
No, I'm pretty sure he got tagged.
Derrick Henry got franchise tagged.
Yeah.
Oh, did he? Okay. My apologies there.
Oh, I thought you said he got tagged, Walsh.
No, he resigned.
Franchise tag.
He got tagged.
Oh, yeah, he did get franchise tagged. Okay, cool. But, yeah, the point is he's back with Tennessee. They're going to try and do what they did, which is run the entire offense through him, which worked really well. We'll see if it works over a full season, but he's obviously a guy who is going to be in your top 10 running back lists. His lack of pass catching ability is a concern, but not that much of a concern.
He's good.
How high are we going on Henry? This is obviously early for this conversation, but like,
I'm cautiously optimistic because I had him last year, and when I drafted him, I didn't really want to. It was like the 4th, 5th round, and I was just like, I'm not too sure about this because he doesn't catch passes. You got to bank on a lot of, you know, high rushing productivity, touchdowns, and he just happened to get all that. Like, they really did funnel the offense through him. So I would be I'd probably be a little more sheepish on him this year. I don't know. He's still awesome, still great, and they are going to try and do the same shit again, but I would maybe sacrifice that for, like, if it's if he's going like second round, end of first, I don't know if I'm going to touch him.
I think he's going to be like a top seven running back taken off the board. Like, I think you're going to be lucky to get him in the second round.
Yeah, I was going to say probably a top five dude. I don't know if I can do that. I'd probably just wait.
So this is a 12-team league. I just pulled up Fantasy Football's calculator real quick, and it's obviously very early. They have him as the 12th running back in the very end of a 12-team second-round draft pick at 2.10.
End of the second round is fine. That's, like, completely okay for him.
But that seems very unrealistic.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to be higher because right now the only people that are drafting are, like, smart people. And by the time we get to, like, actual football, like, you're going to have everyone being like, Derrick Henry put up fucking four rushing touchdowns a game, like, for the last half of the year.
Dude, he's a beast. He's a beast.
Exactly. Like, he's going to be a top five, top six type running back off the board, I think. So I will probably be fading that. But I understand why you wouldn't, if that also makes sense.
I would love for Derrick Henry to fall to me at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just not going to happen. It's not. No way.
All right. So, sorry. Go ahead, Don.
Nope. Continue.
I was going to say, let's take a quick break. And we've gone almost an hour already, but that's all right because we're having fun. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with some more Let's Talk Fantasy Football.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, home of the brutally honest fantasy advice you've always needed.
Welcome back, everybody. We are back after the break. I am still here with my good pals, Vinny Gonzalez and Don Chrisman. And we are moving on to wide receiver, tight end, and then the mystery category, other. In terms of free agents.
Yep.
All right. We already talked about DeAndre Hopkins. We kind of talked about Randall Cobb. I think we can safely skip that. Is that? Do we have other opinions on those?
No.
Okay. The Cowboys signed Amari Cooper to, what was it, a five-year deal?
$100 million.
So 5 years then, probably.
I think so.
Yep, 5 year, $100 million deal. I love this. I think Amari is going to thrive with Dak. As a Raiders fan who will love Amari for the rest of his life, despite him not working out with us. Huge fan. Gotta be, what, like 7th or 8th on the fantasy wide receivers this year?
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think. Like, it's so hard to do that right now. Like,
yeah, it's difficult to do it without like a list in front of you. Yeah. And again in March.
They have Amari Cooper right now, obviously very early, but 15th wide receiver.
15th wide receiver.
Yeah, there's some suspect names, though, ahead of him.
Odell shouldn't be drafted ahead of
him. I was literally just going to say, like,
Right now is 8th.
No, I would take Amari over him big time.
I think mid-second round feels right for Amari right now.
Yeah.
They have Cortland Sutton and Cooper Kupp ahead of him.
Fuck off. Who the fuck is doing this?
Honestly, it's very early. This is ADP off of fantasy football calculator. So who knows who's doing
well. All right, we're going to ignore that for the rest of the podcast, I feel like.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, no, Amari is an elite fantasy wide receiver right now, and he's the right wide receiver for Dak because they both excel so much in terms of Amari getting open and Dak being able to see that and going to him. Like, the two of them belong together, if that makes sense. And
we belong together.
whatever songs you want to play there. I'm very happy with this signing. I think Amari's going to be great this year.
I'm with you, man. Like, a lot. I think
what was he this past
over year? I think we were sexually confused on him. So it was like,
I'm going to look up Fantasy Pros.
was like blurring.
Confused on Amari.
No, we really were, because we're just like, he's so awesome, but he's so injury prone, and we don't know what's going to happen.
I want to look up like where he actually finished, though.
Finished, I'm not sure, because he still was very inconsistent, but still very sexy when he blew up.
I'm trying to think of what sites I need to go to like figure this out. Anyway, we like the Amari signing. I think that's great. I think that's a good thing to happen. Let's talk about AJ Green, who got franchise tagged and is likely going to be catching passes from Joe Burrow's.
Joe Burrow, dude.
Vinny, take the fucking floor, dog.
I'm excited, man. I love everything that's happening right now with the Bengals. They're doing stuff in free agency. We basically signed the entire fucking Vikings secondary, so we totally revamped that. Got DJ Reader, who I drunkenly was telling Don about. I fucking love that signing so much.
Can you tell me about DJ Reader?
So he used to play for the Texans. Huge tackle. Fill up holes. Like, will help the run game, because you know how the fucking Bengals are a sieve. Their linebackers still suck, and we still need to figure that out. But very excited for the defense revamp. And for the offense, not a whole lot needed to change, except for, like, make sure AJ Green stays, and I think they would be okay. And that has happened so far. I really hope they at least do something with Tyler Eifert or make a move for some sort of tight end. In a weird way, but like,
dude, their skill positions are pretty good.
Exactly. Like, you look at them and it's just like, all right, AJ Green is locked down. He's healthy now, hopefully. John Ross.
Yes.
Huge flashes last year. Amazing. And it was something you needed to see. Tyler Boyd, I think he's a fucking stud. I loved him.
Don, are you eating popcorn?
Yeah. What is that noise?
Oh no. You can hear it.
Yes.
Oh no.
I'm muted my mic, man. I'm eating Thin Mints.
You didn't mute anything.
Yeah.
No. My mic was even blinking for the mute.
Mute yourself on the Zoom or something. Mute yourself on something other than that.
Dude, I literally clicked the mute button.
You are crunching down on Thin Mints right now.
The Thin Mints are so good.
They are really. I can't blame you for that.
I'm actually really disappointed because I literally was like, I'm going to mute myself.
Don, I'm going to mute you right now.
Mute myself.
Okay, I muted Don. Vinny, continue.
Cool, I could keep jerking off to my team. Where was I? Oh, dude, Auden Tate making very sexy one-handed catches, or just like contested as all hell. Like, beautiful. I love this team. Offensive line still a little suspect, but
Jonah Williams coming back, though.
That is huge. I kind of have been considering that like a non-factor because it's such an unknown. Like, you can't just say like, he's back.
He was a top 10 position at the
but you don't
top
know.
10 pick at the position. So
correct. But you can't just be like, all right, he's going to fix everything that's been wrong with like their offensive line. So I'm going to try to stay cautiously optimistic about that. I love that he's back. Yes. Still seems to be the glaring issue on this team, but I mean, I feel like I do this every year. I just nut to my team and they just suck. So I'm excited. And then, of course, Joe Mixon. Wonderful. So I love this team.
Upstanding citizen.
Very upstanding citizen.
Joe Mixon, I think, is in a really interesting pick for this next year. I'm sort of undecided on where I would like to grab him, but I think
he shows so much
at the end of the year. Like, if that offense is good, and – I mean, you and me have been the biggest Bengals believers in terms of offense and offensive line for years and years and years, yes. And this has never paid off.
me by default, and you probably by me pressuring you.
Me by, well, like, putting money on things. Like
Bengals are always such a good value, and you're like, how is this team so undervalued?
Yeah, I've been on the Bengals for a number of years, and I think Joe Mixon, like – if that team is good and the offensive line can be good, then we might have a situation there where they're better than expected, particularly if Joe Burrow performs. Because, I mean, it's obvious that he's going to be there. But
right.
Yeah, let's get off the Bengals. Let's talk about Steph Diggs being a motherfucking Buffalo Bill, dude. So Steph Diggs got traded to Buffalo for a first, fifth, and sixth round pick. And a 21, 2021 fourth round pick, and they gave up also a seventh round pick in order to get him. Buffalo's offense with John Brown, Steph Diggs, Cole Beasley in the slot, Devin Singletary in the backfield, kind of sick. If their defense can be
the same,
they're, am I wrong to call them a Super Bowl contender?
I like it, dude. Tom Brady's out. They have a surefire shot to make the playoffs. I really like that take, and I think that there's a lot of fantasy value to go around.
Don, what's the opinions here?
I'm out of Thin Mints. I don't know.
Yeah, dude, I saw you lick the bag.
I asked for opinions, not Thin Mints.
Although I could use some.
I don't know about a Super Bowl contender, but yeah, it's a nice team, man. I think it complements John Brown very well, too. I think that opens up a lot for each of them and for Josh Allen as a fantasy quarterback. So a very, very cool pick, and I think that just ups all the values.
Yeah, Josh Allen, for clarification's purposes, very much ahead of Teddy Bridgewater, very much ahead of Tom Brady for me. Josh Allen is like borderline top eight, I think, quarterback for me going into this year. Should be drafted, owned, and started in every single league.
I don't know if I would take him over Brady.
I would. It's okay. So I can't. My brain is having such a hard time doing this because it's just like
it is difficult without like a list in front of you and like.
Well, bro, Brady, the best quarterback of all time.
I'll kill you, dude.
Sorry for separating fantasy from fucking reality.
And then Don also making his own fantasy. If Rodgers was with Belichick, he'd be fucking 8 weeks. Shut the fuck up, you thin eating motherfucker.
I hit the mute button, dude.
Nice. Also, I think this Diggs trade really highlights just how bad that Hopkins trade was because they got so much. Dude.
Ham sandwich.
They got so much for this guy.
How the fuck do you think Bill O'Brien was on that phone call? And how hard do you think Arizona had to mute the button and just fucking laugh?
Dude, and now Bill O'Brien has to answer to the whole thing that they reported about DeAndre Hopkins and Bill O'Brien's relationship.
What was that?
Hopkins actually came out and said that like
he respects
completely Bill downplayed O'Brien. That. He became the good guy in all of that.
Yeah, where... no, and I think that's great for DeAndre Hopkins, but you don't think that Bill O'Brien's going to get ripped by the press as soon as they can ask him questions about
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien, I missed all of that. What happened?
So they reported that
attention to the sports world since we'd have nothing to pay attention to, Vinny.
I think I was so offended by the trade, I kind of just shut off from all the
Michael,
news.
So they reported of that trade. There was bad blood between DeAndre Hopkins and Bill O'Brien, where Bill O'Brien actually pulled DeAndre Hopkins at some point into his office and said, the last time that he had the conversation he's about to have with DeAndre Hopkins, it was with a player named Aaron Hernandez. Obviously, that's pretty fucked up because
Aaron Hernandez is true.
Great documentary series, though. Correct. But yes, also very true.
And then another thing reported was Bill O'Brien addressed the fact that DeAndre Hopkins has multiple baby mamas and that they were showing up to campus and all this and all the other issues that it was causing an issue for the team.
Yeah. And then immediately Hopkins said nothing but respect for Bill O'Brien. Like, I'm moving on. Like he took it as
Hopkins rules, dude.
As well as you possibly could that and like downplayed the whole thing. So yeah, I think what's happening is, I mean, Bill O'Brien is doing the worst job of being a coach GM since Hugh Jackson with the Raiders. And
you
DeAndre Hopkins is becoming a good, like everyone loves him now because of what's happening.
Absolutely. And like, but like Bill O'Brien is such like a fucking sixth grader. He's like, I'll show you, I'll get a fucking second rounder and David Johnson for you. It's like, what are you proving here?
Dude? He's not smart. He's dumb.
He's
very stupid.
He's bad at his job and it's going to continue to be like that until they fire him.
Who can fire him?
The Texans owner is literally
Bill O'Brien's gonna fire Bill O'Brien.
You can fire him. So
no one fires me but me.
So hopefully he does fire him. We were on the Diggs trade.
Yes, it just shows what the value of a receiver of that caliber should be, and DeAndre Hopkins is obviously a higher caliber than Stephon Diggs, but Bills went out for him, and you know, Diggs was inconsistent last year, and obviously that showed his he obviously showed his frustration with Kirk Cousins. He'd have a great game for you fantasy wise, and then he wouldn't. So hopefully, you're going to see a little bit more of a steady value or steady performance from Diggs. But I would assume he'll obviously take that wide receiver one role from John Brown and have a good year with Josh Allen.
Yeah, as much as I love John Brown, this kind of I don't want to say shoots his value just yet, but obviously Diggs becomes the number one most targeted dude, high priority. So makes me sad as a John Brown owner for now, but obviously we still have to, you know, watch some of the offseason stuff and what their plan is. But yeah, I think Diggs just becomes their number one dude, obviously.
Two things. I think John Brown is better than Steph Diggs.
Not true.
Ooh.
Fair.
That's not true.
Oof. Fair, but
not fair.
Come on.
I'm a noted John Brown.
Yeah, well, Walsh, me too. Man. I'm telling you straight.
How do I mute the host?
Okay. The other thing. Let's move past that. The other thing that I wanted to say is, does Thielen become like a top seven wide receiver right now?
I don't know.
I think he does. I think like immediately. Thielen becomes a guy who is going to get 10 to 12 targets a game. And we know how good out Adam Thielen is. Why is he not even, like I said, top seven. Like, why is he not even like a top four wide receiver right now?
That's a good question. Cause they literally have nobody else.
I mean, it's they're going to throw it at Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith. They love running two tight ends. That shit's great.
And he's he'd be the sole guy.
The only wide receiver they have is Adam Thielen.
You want to hear something
really? He is going to take over a DeAndre Hopkins-type target share.
Over 150?
Yes. Over 150 for Adam Thielen right now.
No, I agree with that one.
Don, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, honestly, it's actually not worth saying anymore because I'm pulling up all these ADPs off the calculator and it's just crazy. Adam Thielen right now, very, very, very early, is the 20th wide receiver off the board.
That's
the fourth round.
That makes no sense. Literally top six should be. Top five. I don't care.
Also this stuff like ing. What was that, Don?
Four syllables. Added the ing to asinine.
You can't add an ing.
Asinining is not a word.
You could add a fourth syllable by saying asininely. You could make it an adverb.
Oh, yes. Adverbs.
All right. What do we think? Like, is this – like, am I so far off base on the Adam Thielen thing? Like, no. Motherfucker's going to have so many targets next year, right?
No, I mean, well, that's part of the reason that Diggs was upset was because he wasn't getting the share that he wanted. Kirk Cousins, obviously, his favorite guy is Adam Thielen, and now that Diggs is out of the way, just more shares to Adam Thielen.
Like, I think it might be 2018, first to half of the season, Adam Thielen, which was when he was, like, the best receiver of all time.
Over 100 yards every – was that eight games in a row?
Yeah, exactly.
I traded for that Adam Thielen.
You bought high on that Adam Thielen.
Don is also currently investing in the stock market.
Whoa, hold on. You guys said that I rused Kyle.
You did.
I don't remember what the trade was. So I'm gonna
ignore you don't remember what that trade was?
It was Tyler Lockett and Chris Carson 2 years ago.
Oh, dude, I do remember that trade.
that was two shiny nickels for a fucking dollar.
All right, you played the dumbest motherfucker in our league. Sorry, Kyle, if you're listening.
Whoa. Kyle still doesn't even have the bitch jacket yet.
That's true.
That's actually very true. Okay, he has never come in last. He comes in ninth. He has been hovering around last for about a half decade. All right, well, dude, let's continue on from
balance
from the discussion where we're at. Let's talk about receivers that are still available, and that's Robbie Anderson. Do we have any idea where he's going to go? Because I want him to be a Raider so fucking bad. Green Bay.
I think he was born to be a Raider, honestly, but I think he's going to re-sign with the Jets, in my opinion.
Why? Why would he do that? Don, I like the Green Bay shout. I like that. They just re-signed Alan Lazard, though, for a little bit. So
that's fine, and Alan Lazard's cool, but they need another –
They need a wide receiver.
They need a receiver.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
That's true. I did re-sign Alan Lazard once in the 70s, but I didn't.
Yeah, you a good wide receiver.
But Robbie Anderson is my laundromat love machine.
Can we start calling Robbie Anderson the laundromat love machine?
If we don't, I'll be very mad. That's hey, sweet thing.
My sweet thing. My honey DeLume.
I will order Robbie Anderson 1,000 fish sandwiches and Green Bay Packers.
Hey, baby, you want to buy a fish sandwich?
How about I take a bite out of your target share?
I will offer him a light. And then I will ask.
So.
My God. After 9,000 ladies' man references.
That was the best segment the podcast has ever done. I'm interested in where he lands. I've heard, you know, different spots. Eagles, I've heard. Raiders, I've heard. Green Bay, I've heard. Do you guys have any sort of, like, opinions on – because he's a difference maker. He really is.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's on the field, and immediately it's drawing coverage over there. Dude, there's nothing I like more than when Robbie Anderson was breaking a bomb. And it only happened, like, twice last year, and I banked on it hard, and it didn't really work out. But –
You guys were both at that Jets Green Bay game where he had like 200 yards receiving or whatever.
I fell in love.
That was a very great game to watch.
That was weirdly the best game of the year.
So that was actually the craziest like meshing of things for me. It was like the last week of the season. I made my last parlay I was ever going to make, and I cashed it at the very end of the day. And like just that game was so incredible. It was like.
And Vinny was introduced to the song Mo Bamba, and he fell in love.
I've never heard a worse song in my entire life played so many times in a row in a fucking parking lot. I wanted to kill myself. The game cleared that, like, straight up.
Please do not put Mo Bamba on your phone.
No, I wouldn't do that. I would rather just true up Thin Mints again.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, Robbie Anderson, I think he's a stud, and I think he has, like, the Walsh, I don't know if you feel the same way, but like kind of like the John Brown, not mentality, but like skill set where like you see the deep threat, and then you're just like, this dude could be a complete wide
receiver. But he can do other things too, exactly what you said. So John Brown this past year proved that he is a deep threat, but he can run the intermediate routes, he can run the short routes, similar to how T.Y. Hilton did when he proved that he was an elite wide receiver. I think I see that in Robbie Anderson 100%. So
come to Green Bay is all I will say.
Come to fucking Oakland, please. Please. We need something. If we don't draft CeeDee Lamb or sign Robbie Anderson, I'm going to be an angry fucking person.
Darren Waller for 2,000 yards, please.
Definitely possible. All right. The only other thing we have left on the wide receivers is talking about Brandon Cooks, but I think we did that for a little bit. So let's move right to tight end. Hoop fucking daddy.
Got paid, is son.
The highest paid tight end in the NFL.
Of all time.
He does not deserve it because there are at least three tight ends I can count on my left hand that are better than him. But.
Tyler Eifert and who?
It took me a second on that. Hoop Daddy's the highest paid tight end of all time, and he's with the Browns. This is, and you know what? Let's give this a full Browns talk, basically, because they signed, they signed Jack Conklin, who's one of the best tackles in the league.
I thought that was a great sign. Very infuriating as a Bengals fan, but
absolutely. So when we're talking about late round quarterbacks for next year, number one on my list is Baker Mayfield because of this Hooper signing and the conference.
By the way, offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt, personal friend, also was the quarterback coach of Aaron Rodgers.
Also, new,
open that offense.
New coach Kevin Stefanski was the Vikings offensive coordinator last year, and
they threw it so much.
He's good, like. It's an upgrade over everything that has happened there. I think the Browns are one of those teams where they're going to be vaulted up like over the entire offseason. But as of right now, if you are looking for a late round quarterback target, it's Baker. For tight end, I don't know, because Hooper's obviously going to be number one. Njoku's going to be there too. The Vikings last year, where Stefanski was, they ran a lot of Rudolph and Irv Smith at the same time. So they're used to a two tight end offense, but then you've also got Odell and Jarvis. And then you've also got Chubb and Hunt, who Hunt, they gave a second round tender to. So they are going to have him back. Opinions on everything. Don, you look like you want to say something. So
I still think that the number one receiver of that crew is still going to be Jarvis Landry
over Odell.
Yeah.
And Hooper.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily disagree with you. Jarvis had a better year last year, but like, what round are you drafting or drafting Landry, and what round are you drafting Odell?
Yeah. So Odell Beckham is going to get drafted before Jarvis Landry, but I'm not going to draft Odell Beckham, and I would draft again Jarvis Landry for where he's going. Right now, again, we're still looking very, 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 very early. But still, just for the fact of Odell Beckham being Odell Beckham, they put him as number eight receiver, the first pick in the second round on a 12-team league, versus Jarvis Landry being the seventh pick in the fifth round of a 12-team league.
Jesus Christ. I just don't see the Odell difference. Thing happening, dude.
Massive difference. Just
it
just
might.
No way. I know he had a sports.
He's fucking good, dude. What do you?
He had the hernia. He had the hernia too. Fuck. I don't know. I'm gonna stay away. Too much. There's too much capital.
I'm not drafting Odell Beckham. It's just been so many years since 2015, maybe 2016, that Odell Beckham has been more of a nuisance to your team than anything else, because they're just the inconsistency or. It is the inconsistency of Odell Beckham.
I will likely be staying away from all Browns players, but I'm going to bet them at like 120-1 to win the Super Bowl, because I think their odds are better than like what they're going to get, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they upgraded their coaching staff completely. They added Austin Hooper, but still, there's just – still you got a lot to see. Baker's got to get it done.
How do you guys feel about Baker as a late-round guy? Because I think it's a no-brainer. I think he's the late-round guy
this year. Yeah, I love that, because especially with the stigma of last year after the hype and crash, it's one of those things you got to stay keen on, because it's one of those things where Baker's going to fall – and you just kind of scoop him up whenever. He's going to be like the new Philip, I feel like.
Yeah, we're buying low on him is what we're doing.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. If we don't have any other opinions on the tight end or the Browns in general, I feel like we had a pretty good Browns discussion. Let's move to the Raiders signing Jason Witten.
Hey. Cool.
I think that's all that needs to be said about the Raiders signing Jason Witten.
That's a fucking chain mover.
I mean, he's going to be a good locker room presence for Waller, I think, is like the biggest thing. But
2,000 yards still on.
I guess so.
He's actually there to start working on his commentating. Like he.
Him and Gruden getting ready for the booth.
All right, let's get back to actual tight ends that are playing. The Ravens traded Hayden Hurst to the Falcons. The Ravens got a 2020 second rounder and a 2020 fifth rounder. The Falcons got Hayden Hurst and a 2020 fourth rounder. I was having a tough time saying that.
I was laughing. You were like a cartoon that was drunk.
I'm a real person that was drunk. Hayden Hurst looked pretty good last year, and we know he was a first-round pick. Like, he was a solid prospect. He's old, but he's jumping right into the Austin Hooper role. To me, he becomes very, like, he becomes, like, maybe top 10 tight end, because tight end's a fucking crapshoot. We all know that. He becomes, like, maybe, like, sixth, seventh tight end at this point to me. Am I off base with that?
Well, Hayden Hurst is 26.
Yeah, he's not that old.
He's not that old, dude. And
what did I say?
You said he was old.
Well, he was old when he was a rookie, is what I meant, like that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
It definitely sounded differently, though.
I literally
Googled it just to see what his age was.
I
was
like,
he's definitely not
that.
Old. He's the same age as Eric Ebron.
So his backstory is wild. He's like a failed baseball player who started playing football, and he got drafted at age 24 and kind of went from there. But anyway, he's in the Austin Hooper role now for the Falcons. What do we think about it?
Dude, I really, really like it.
I like it too.
Walsh, I don't know if you remember, but when we were doing the off-season stuff, when the Ravens drafted Hayden Hurst, we were just like almost praising this dude as like the second coming as Dennis Pitta. And then
we were, you're right.
And then fucking, they were just like, you know what? We have like eight dudes that we can throw the ball to. And we're like, ah, shit. So Nick Boyle, Mark Andrews, all those fucking dudes just kind of took away the target share. I think Hayden Hurst, he was still so fucking good. I think he can put up Austin Hooper numbers in that offense, because Matt Ryan is going to throw to the tight end.
So let's do a quick exercise. Would you draft Hayden Hurst over Austin Hooper?
Yes. I would wait to get Hayden Hurst instead of over drafting on Austin Hooper.
Okay. And then
that's what
so
I meant to say.
Yes. Let me think yeah, other like so what about Mark Andrews? Are we taking
No, I'm staying. I whatever we do the Baltimore thing, I'm gonna cool it on all that. Everything. Lamar Miller, Lamar Jackson. I don't know. I don't like the tight end spot there.
Okay. I haven't necessarily come to like a good opinion on any of this, but I think first reaction, Hayden Hurst would be maybe like my 7-8 type tight end, you know, like that sort of thing.
And oftentimes those guys after the five tight ends go, any kind of order after like the 10th round, like, dude, you can wind up with the last pick. And that's where like a Darren Waller was going. That's where Austin Hooper was going last year. Bottom line, look for a guy that is in a situation like Hayden Hurst right now, not being talked about, or probably won't be built up as much as we are now, and find a guy that's going to do that in that offense.
Yeah, the value is better for Hayden Hurst than like Austin Hooper. Now you're talking about. Is going to be probably in that Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz range, right? Or maybe
he does not deserve to be in that range,
right? Exactly. Right. So, Hayden Hurst, I would say the best way I could think of it is he's more than a Band-Aid, right? So obviously, the Falcons lost Hooper; they needed something, and Hayden Hurst is like the next best thing that they could have done.
Right. They traded for a reason.
Yeah. Yes. And again, I mean, we'll go and talk about it. It's a high-octane offense in a high-octane offense division. So Matt Ryan is a pass-friendly quarterback who's going to hit Hayden Hurst. The value of where you're going to get Hayden Hurst is great, and that's someone you really should keep your eye on for for a later value for a tight end.
Yeah, former first round pick. Former first round pick in the NFL draft. That's a guy who has some sort of potential.
He's old, but not old.
Right, he's old, but it's because he's a former baseball player. Like it's a
young soul.
It's a thing. Let's talk about a couple more, and I'm gonna just kind of roll them all into one. So Jimmy Graham going to the Bears.
Boo.
I think like a big who cares on that. I don't know. I could be big wrong.
Who cares?
He just looked bad.
Is he any better than Adam Shaheen or Trey Burton? I don't think so.
I still think yes, but no. Trey Burton probably like is the way I'd go. But I just hope that Jimmy Graham misses as many passes as he did for the Packers when we're going against them, because he's severely overpaid by the Bears, and he's not someone I would be going after right now, especially with the whole quarterback issue going on over there.
Yeah, he just hasn't looked as fast, explosive, dropping passes.
And it's not even speed. Nick Foles.
He was dropping passes with Aaron Rodgers.
Dude, it was not good.
It was ridiculous.
Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky, the only person on the Bears who is worth drafting right now is Allen Robinson. Like, that's
always and forever.
Yeah. I mean, running back, we can talk about other things, but we'll do that at later episodes. The other ones that I wanted to talk about were Greg Olsen went to Seattle. This is weird to me because they re-signed Luke Wilson, Luke Double L Wilson, and they also still have Will Disley coming back from injury and Jacob Hollister. No one should be drafted. Am I right on that?
No, dude. Pete Rose is going to rock a four tight end a set, dude. What are you talking about?
Pete Carroll,
Pete Rose.
Pete Rose? Did you see Pete Rose?
He's going to throw some bets on there, too.
All right, so we're out on the Seahawks tight end.
Johnny Hustle throwing out a four tight end set.
The other two coming back to the team where they were, Blake Jarwin is coming back to the Cowboys. He got extended for 4 years.
He's a Hayden Hurst.
He's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
He's maybe the Darren Waller of this year.
Yes.
Yeah. Don, you got opinions on Blake Jarwin, or are we?
No.
Okay, so me and Vinny are on the same page. Blake Jarwin may be a very, very good pick coming up this year. They gave him a decent amount of money. He's a very good pass catcher. His issue is that he can't run block, but in fantasy, we don't give a shit about that. So we're looking at Blake Jarwin as, again, it's March, things will change, maybe a 7-15 type tight end range for Blake Jarwin. Does that make sense, Finn?
Yes, sir.
All right. The other ones we need to talk about, Greg Olsen I already talked about that.
We did this.
Hunter Henry.
It's Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry got re-signed to
We don't know who the quarterback's to be. I mean,
how do we evaluate the Chargers right now?
Let's talk about Ty God to Charles Clay is now Ty God to Hunter Henry, dude.
Are we going to get Ty God, like, for
Ty
real?
Ty God to Hunter Henry, dude, what?
Me and Don were very, very drunk at, like, 2 a.m., just, like, talking about the free agent quarterbacks. I'm just like, you know, the Chargers, whatever. And then we're just like, wait a minute. They have Tyrod. They could just fucking keep this dude. He's awesome.
Ty God to Hunter Henry. It's the upgraded Tyrod to Charles Clay. I like it.
I'm not opposed. It is what it is. I mean, like, Hunter Henry's obviously going to be really good. He is an extremely talented person. I think that's fine. I think that's fine for tight end. Let's go into a couple other things, so maybe offensive line or defense or whatever, and then we're going to let you guys go. We've been on for like almost 2 hours. I think hour 40 minutes about at this point. I'm having a ton of fun, and I don't give a shit about –
Hold on. I need to go get more Thin Mints real quick.
Are you being serious or are you...
No, I'm joshing.
All right.
Josh Allening, dude. LOL.
So let's Sleeper. Talk about it. The Eagles traded a third and fifth rounder for Darius Slay. Darius Slay, known as a shutdown quarterback, was not that great this year, honestly. But what do we think about this? Is this something that matters for the Eagles or the Lions?
Yeah. Detroit's going to get wrecked by the NFC North.
Detroit's fucked up.
I'm so glad.
Detroit's in trouble, dude.
Yeah. Matt Patricia is going to get what he deserves, which is a fucking dick in his mouth.
Yeah, he's not doing a great job.
A pencil in the ear and a dick in the mouth.
Big for the Eagles. Dude, Eagles, that's good for them. I mean, they fucking – they lost Malcolm Jenkins, so they made do and tried to improve their secondary in some sort of, you know, shape and form, and they got it done. So I applaud the Eagles, but Lions, dude, that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great ad for the Eagles.
Apparently Darius Slay had like a falling out with Matt Patricia, so that's like why the trade happened a little
bit. It sort of reminded me of like the Sherman stuff where like the guy is good and just like is not getting
Which Sherman was PFF's number one cornerback this past year. Like
after, exactly.
Everyone thinking he was washed in
exactly in yeah
Seattle. And then
you can probably draw parallels.
Also Darius Slay had a bad grade for PFF this year. He was not good in terms of that. So I don't know what to make of that, but
yeah, you can probably also draw parallels to oh my god, I had his name in my head. Now I don't. Never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Josh Norman.
Oh, well, he just got re-signed. Who did he – off the Redskins, who did he sign? I forget.
I'm pulling up, dude, because he did just get picked up already.
He's also been kind of washed.
Exactly, yeah. That was all.
Josh Norman's also not young, and he's also to the Bills as well.
Boom.
He's on the Bills?
Yeah.
So he's up there with fucking
Diggs. Who's their man.
Why?
Who's their cornerback who has been like Tre'Davious White? There we go. Tre'Davious White. There we go. Dude,
they are that's I had this whole thing in my head and I said none of it and then you guys all pieced it together. Thank you.
Where was Micah Hyde though? Because you said that, Don.
Micah Hyde was in Green Bay before Buffalo, but Micah Hyde is a stud, dude.
Is he in Buffalo now?
Yeah, he's in Buffalo.
I think he's still there. Yeah.
This will be his third season.
So we're going to get a Josh Norman, Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde. Yeah, he's in Buffalo. Yeah. We're going to get that fucking trio of cornerbacks.
Yeah, Buffalo is going to be fun to watch this year.
Buffalo is going to be really good.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
They're going to be a really good team. That's like – it's not even controversial, I think, of anything else. But, yeah. Let's talk about the Chargers. So the Chargers signed a shitload of people. They signed Linval Joseph, great defensive tackle. They signed Chris Harris at cornerback. They signed Brian Bulaga, like we said before. And they signed Trey Turner, who was an offensive guard, an offensive lineman.
Bolt up.
For the Panthers before. Buffalo is another team I think is going to be – or sorry, Chargers. I said Buffalo.
Got it.
Chargers are going to be another team that I think is going to be good, but I'm, like, worried weirdly about their quarterback situation. Like, is Ty God going to lead them to everything or, like, what? What is Eckler going to do?
Praise Ty God, dude. Hell yeah.
We have not talked about where Eckler should be drafted. Is Eckler a late first round, early second round? Like, what are we doing there?
I would take Eckler before Derrick Henry.
Me too. In PPR, no fucking question.
Exactly. Half PPR, yeah. 100%. So I think that really – shows where the fuck he's going to be a late first rounder, early second. Unless we're looking at fucking profane, like the calculator right now. But
that's exactly where he deserves to be.
I know.
Because he's that good. I mean, like, I owned Eckler in a couple of leagues for the first 6 weeks of the season.
He was a fucking league.
It's just too early. There's no way that this can be right. Eckler is the 23rd running back.
Before we scream at fucking fantasy football calculator.
It's too early. It's way too early.
It's basically stuff from
Eckler is going to be like one of those guys where at the end of the second, if he's still there, then you should be taking him. Like that's where he is at this point in fantasy and everything else.
He's also extremely efficient. I forget who I was casting with. It was before last season. And I wish I had the stats in front of me. The efficiency rating is incredible on top of what the volume he's about to get with Melvin Gordon leaving. He's an extremely efficient running back in not only the pass game, but the run game.
Yeah, no, he's been incredible and he's going to keep being incredible. He's just been great for like everything that you could possibly ask. When I have him in the league that I did for the earliest couple like things, the earliest couple weeks of the year, almost like made my season, you know, just absolutely incredible. And even if Justin Jackson comes back and, does things, like, that's fine.
But it's a non-factor. I mean, when Austin Eckler, for the years that Melvin Gordon was the dominant running back and all that, the efficiency rating every single year, because I just remember bringing a point to it. The efficiency rating, even though his stats altogether weren't the best with the quantity of what he had, the quality was unbelievable.
He had 8 receiving touchdowns last year. Yeah, like that's not going to happen in the future, you know?
Yeah.
It is an interesting thing. Also, side point, Justin Jackson is a huge socialist, and I love that. But anyway.
Bonus point.
Me and Justin Jackson both campaigned for Bernie Sanders over this offseason. But let's continue from there. So the next one going forward is that the Cowboys got Gerald McCoy. That's a huge one in terms of their defense. I don't know what it actually means, like, scores of points or whatever else, but the Cowboys did get Gerald McCoy. Do you have any opinions on that?
No, I mean, it's a great addition. But again, fantasy-wise, I mean,
I don't think it does too much. Let's talk about it, it's just
better for the team overall.
Right, exactly. And that's what the rest of these are going to be a little bit. So Jadeveon Clowney, he is still available.
Yeah.
He was obviously just with the Seahawks. We don't know where he's going to finish or where he's going to end up, but keep an eye out for that. The other people that are going to make a difference, the Bears got Robert Quinn. He's a great pass rusher.
Bears defense is
disgusting.
I'm extremely
– I still don't think the Bears are shit. Like
Aaron Rodgers.
Bears right are now. Good.
I don't the, think that defense, so, dude.
They are just going to destroy quarterbacks.
Yeah, man. They're going to hurt people.
They are going to hurt people.
I guess. Like, I don't know.
What?
I just
– Roquan Smith, Robert Quinn, and Khalil Mack. Dude, I just put 3 turds in my pants.
Okay, you convinced me. You convinced me right there.
Danny Trevathan, dude.
I had eliminated the Khalil Mack situation from my brain from being a Raiders fan. It's
the scariest of all of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie Jackson.
It's a massive problem.
They're a problem.
They are a massive problem. If they can get their quarterback situation figured out, which they could possibly, it all depends on how Nick Foles adapts to the Bears, I guess, but the Bears are very worrisome.
And Robert Quinn with them is like a big deal because he's an incredible pass rusher.
He completely. Yeah. So, do you remember when he was suspended early on last year?
Yeah, and he showed and up, then, and then he came back, the and the Cowboys defense became incredible right away.
Dude, he revamped their whole fucking thing, and it was insane. This defense is more loaded than when they made the playoffs with the double doing.
So let's go to former Rams that are now in different places. Michael Brockers is in Baltimore. Michael Brockers is quietly one of the best interior rushers on the defensive line in the NFL for several years, in the past couple of years. Now he is with Baltimore. I am very intrigued by like how well he's going to do there. Do you guys have opinions on Brockers going there or the Baltimore defense in general?
I mean the Baltimore defense. Baltimore has just been always a very solid defense. So it's another plus. So when you are going to the later rounds, is when am I going to pull on Baltimore before I get stuck with the second half of defense is where I'm going to stream.
I like how you guys aren't even talking about how they got Calais Campbell for like a fucking ham sandwich.
Yeah, seriously, dude. Oh, how the fuck did they do that?
Irvin.
Yeah, I swear to God, I literally...
Yannick Ngakoue, like, posted on Twitter, was just like, yo, that shit's, like, not okay. Like, it's not, immediately it's when not. It happened.
This defense is stupid. May I remind you, they still have Earl Thomas, Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey. This team is fucking loaded. You want to talk about putting money on a Super Bowl favorite? The fucking Ravens. It makes me sick.
And the only person they lost was Hayden Hurst.
And oh, I'm sorry, they have fucking five other tight ends that can do this.
Mark Andrews, Nick Boyle. We're in there, baby. We're in there.
The best backup quarterback in the league, Robert Griffin, the third. They're fine.
The Ravens have to be a very early front runner.
They're like the Chiefs from – so last year, you forget about how good they did the year previous, and you just wipe it from your memory for no reason.
Right.
And they have all the pieces, every single thing they've had, and they've improved.
And the quarterback was the MVP of the NFL last year too.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing that happened.
Patrick.
I'm saying like people forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Remember, Don?
Wait, we're talking about Baltimore, am I correct?
I'm just saying like, you know, when you disregard stuff from last year and then...
Lamar won MVP this year.
No. Yeah, Mahomes.
Was the year before again.
And then they win the Super Bowl.
So now it's Lamar Jackson's.
Instead of you guys being dickheads to me, you should listen to what I'm saying. You were absolutely being a dickhead. And Walsh was too, snickering in the background, wishing me... Little bitch. Both
we will stop we're being dickheads. Continue from where you were.
No, that was his.
Okay. All right. We have like literally two things until we just talked about Michael Brockers. The Giants signed James Bradberry as their number one cornerback. Sorry. He will be playing opposite Janoris Jenkins. That's actually kind of a good pass-catching duo. And the Giants –
they just signed some linebackers as well.
Well, they signed Blake Martinez from the Packers.
And Fackrell.
So the Giants have done a good job of improving their pass defense, which was one of the worst this past year. I don't know if we have anything too much to say about all of that, but – They did that.
Mm-hmm. Janoris Jenkins is on the Saints.
Is he now?
No, he's been from last year.
He was a Giant. Oh no, he got traded midway. No,
remember he said a bad word on Twitter and he got traded to the Saints.
No, Eli Apple got signed or got traded.
Eli Apple is on the Raiders.
Yeah, but he got traded to the Saints midway through the year. Am I like losing my fucking mind on that?
Janoris Jenkins is on the Saints from last year. Eli Apple is on the Raiders. I don't know why you're talking about Eli Apple.
No, Janoris Jenkins is a cornerback Saint. Of the New York Giants.
He went back?
Nope, he's New Orleans Saint.
Yeah, he's a Saint. What are you guys talking about?
I don't know.
Fuck off for that. No, that's
yeah.
Well,
Shrek, cut this.
Yeah, this actually might have to get cut.
No, but he was with the Giants for a long time last year. They signed James Bradbury. That's good for them for that sort of thing.
Because they lost to Janoris Jenkins. That's actually
yeah.
It is what it is. Janoris Jenkins had a dead body get found in his basement like last year or whatever.
Whoa, dude, that was his brother, not him.
Yeah, that wasn't him.
The last thing on this outline that I need to discuss, it says my penis is sub-average, and I think that applies to all three of us. All three of our penises are very sub-average.
And how?
Make sure you take that to the bank. And for two of my best friends in the world, Don, do you have anything to say to the people before we sign off?
No, dude, I think especially the last line is definitely valid because we send the snaps of our penises to each other all the time.
Except for you.
I have also not sent a snap of my penis, but it's because I have really bad anxiety and I need to take medication for my anxiety.
My anxiety gets fixed by sending you guys my dick. Like I'm taking a piss, I'm just like, you know what?
Let me send a picture of my
let me blow up
low sub average penis.
I'm going to the second we get off this call. I am going to smoke a cigarette, and then I'm going to probably come back on here to talk to Don and Vinny. Hopefully they will stay on here.
Absolutely.
Because I do not want to miss that. But I am here with Don. Don just said what he has to say. Vinny, do you have anything to say to the people?
Not much. Have fun in quarantine. Football should hopefully start on time. That would be cool. Have a good time. If you're listening to this, I'm sorry.
And yeah. If you're listening to this, good on you, and we appreciate you. You're really one of the good ones for that. We appreciate you guys listening to a podcast in mid-March, which we don't normally do. Stay safe. Stay safe. Stay happy. Keep listening to us for certain things. I don't know. My name is Walsh.
Not all of them, but just know that we all have sub-average penises.
We also all have really sub-average penises. Like minus 5 inches type of penises.
Oh, minus five, dude. That's giving some length.
Our penises are really, really bad. You guys should keep that in mind, that when you are drafting Austin Hooper way too early, you should know that me, Vinny, and Don, we all have really shitty penises. All right, guys. For Let's Talk Fantasy Football, I am Walsh. That is Don. That is Vinny. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.